When you are a guilty sinner laden with sin and God looks upon you, he sees the guilt and God is offended. While you live in rebellion of him and reject his son, God is angry with you. But when he sees his son in you, and your faith in his son, trusting his righteousness, the wrath of God is no longer toward you, but you enjoy his smile, his pleasure, his fatherhood, and you come as his child to pray Abba. And that is the most endearing approach to God, because there is nothing between. There is now blessed, wonderful peace.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church. This is Ian Gallagher, and I hope that today you'll stay tuned right through the program as we have a message on God's peace. We have a hymn, At the Cross, where I first saw the light. That's where we find peace with God, and that's where you will find peace with God. When you come as a sinner to Jesus, when you come to the cross, looking upon the Savior, atoning, dying, suffering in your place as your substitute, taking all the wrath of God upon him that was due to you, and believing that Jesus offered up to the Father a sufficient payment or sacrifice to satisfy God's eternal justice, that there is no more payment required, no more debt, no more guilt, no more shame. All is settled, and God the Father is fully satisfied. And I want you to have that salvation, that peace with God. And that is the burden of our message again today as we come back to Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have it. We can have it now. And we have it for all eternity.
And we, therefore, have this peace through the sufferings of the Lord Jesus in our place as our substitute, as our Savior. I read about an old Scottish elder. When he lay dying, he found great comfort in the gospel. One of his friends drew near to the dying Scottish man, and he said, "Well, Jimmy, how long since is it that ye made your peace with God?" The aged saint said, "Well, Robin, to tell you the truth, I never made my peace with God." Jimmy said, "But what do you mean? How long since you have found God?" And again he said, "Oh, Robin, I never sought and found him." And then the friend said, "Oh, his mind is gone and he will never recognize us again." But the old saint opened his lips and said, "Listen, not I. I never sought him." And then he quoted the hymn, "Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God." He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. That underlines the point that it's possible, not because of your works, not because of your goodness or efforts, but because of this God spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, that we might be spared. Is that your faith? Is that your hope? Peace with God's possible because this is a gospel of reconciliation. Now, I wanted to read those verses in 2 Corinthians 5 earlier for this very reason, the word reconciliation. And who are we reconciling? Are we reconciling man to man, woman to woman, parents to children, children to parents? Is this earthly reconciliation between people? No, this is a reconciliation between God and guilty sinners. It's a gospel of reconciliation. Look at Romans 5 and verse 10. For if when we were enemies, and that's what sin does, sin makes you an enemy of God, and therefore you come under his wrath. You are like the subject of a king who's angry with you. And if when you were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled. You see, two times in that one verse. By the word, by the way, the word atonement means reconciled. It means two warring parties brought together, made at one, made to be at peace. And this is the work of the Lord Jesus on the cross for you. Christ died on the cross as the Prince of Peace, working peace for you, that your sins would be gone, your guilt would be gone, God's wrath would be turned away, and God's pleasure would now fall upon your heart. Peace with God is possible because there is a perfect righteousness provided by the Lord Jesus. And that means his perfect life. All the obedience, every day that he lived, every law that he kept, every command that he fulfilled, that bundled up goodness of the Lord is given to you. His righteousness placed to your account so that when God looks upon you, he sees the rightness, the goodness, the obedience of his Son, and God is well pleased. I found an illustration of this in what my dad used to do with sheep in lambing time. And sometimes there would be those sheep that would have more even than two lambs. Some might have three. And of course, it's very difficult for a sheep to raise three lambs. And then there might be a sheep that would lose all of her lambs and she would be without babies. And so what my dad would do would take one from the sheep that has three, and he would give it to the sheep that has none. But of course, there's a problem. The mother would smell that strange lamb and reject it, push it away. And so the trick of the shepherd is that the sheep that lost her lambs to death, you start right at the back of its neck and you run the knife around, and you take the skin right off whole, and you put little eyes in the skin of the sheep, and then you put string around it, and you tie that skin of the dead lamb, put it right over the body of the extra lamb, and then you put that lamb with a covering of the skin on it into the fold of the pen with the mother sheep you want to adopt it. What does she smell? She smells her own lamb. She receives it gladly. And because it has this covering of her own lamb, she is pleased with it. And there is a beautiful illustration for us of God the Father, that he accepts us for Jesus' sake. And because he died and he gave his life and gives his obedience to us, when we are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus, God accepts us for his sake. And so we are reconciled. We have now peace and are accepted by God in the very family of heaven. Now we come to the possession of peace with God. Note how it's worded in this text, Romans 5, verse 1. Now I want you to get your message from the Bible here. I don't want you going home and saying, I couldn't understand that preacher. He was talking a whole lot of strange things. No, it's not strange. It's Bible truth. And I want you to get your heart and mind focused on what the Scripture, the Word of God, teaches you. That's what the Reformation was built on. When the Reformers started to preach the Bible, it was not like receiving some sacrament from the priest. It was not like hearing something in Latin that nobody understood. It was the preacher expounding the book and explaining this wonderful doctrine of justification by faith alone. And note how it's worded here, that therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's a wonderful thing. It's a thrilling thing to be able to say that. And it's a blessing that we possess now. Right now, we can have this peace with God. Why? Because God is at peace with us. The gospel has pronounced a change in God. What? What are you talking about? God cannot change, but his attitude can change. When you are a guilty sinner laden with sin and God looks upon you, he sees the guilt and God is offended. While you live in rebellion of him and reject his son, God is angry with you. But when he sees his son in you, and your faith in his son, trusting his righteousness, the wrath of God is no longer toward you, but you enjoy his smile, his pleasure, his fatherhood, and you come as his child to pray Abba. And that is the most endearing approach to God, because there is nothing between. There is now blessed, wonderful peace. So God's wrath is turned away because of the propitiatory sacrifice of Christ. And I'm using that word deliberately. I want you to learn it. Propitiate means to turn away wrath. Christ's sacrifice on the cross was a propitiatory offering. It was intended to turn away God's wrath and to bring down God's favor toward sinners. That's why Romans 5:8 says, even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God commendeth his love toward us. His wrath is turned to pleasure, so that we have peace with God. Now that God has a new attitude, and you in your heart have a new inner peace, a peace of conscience that speaks peace to your heart. This is like the man who receives a letter in the mail that he is to appear before court for wrongdoing. And you can imagine his face turning pale when he opens that letter and reads the contents. And he thinks of the prospect that he must appear before the judge and give account. And if he knows that he's guilty and he has no defense, It speaks condemnation. He's a troubled man. He's not going to sleep well that night. And he will have many sleepless nights until the hour appointed when he must stand before the judge. But if he receives another letter from the court, and it pronounces that his case has been dismissed, some new evidence has come to light, the case is dismissed, he need not appear before a judge to be sentenced. Boy, he'll sleep well that night. What a relief. And it is that in-kind relief that a Christian enjoys. When we come from the pronouncement of God's anger against sin, and we receive the news that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have great statements like Romans 8 verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Wonderful news, happy news, peace-bearing news. And it turns our heart to peace. God wants you to have that peace today. It's the peace of the gospel. It's the peace that comes through faith, believing on what Christ did on the cross to turn away God's wrath from you, and you say, that's my hope. I'm going to receive the Lord as my Savior. I put my faith in Him. Now, I looked on the chapter in Romans 5, and I come to verse 5, and I notice something here. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, and that leads to hope. And so there is this transformation in the inner life of the believer on the Lord Jesus because of his faith in the Lord. And he is now enjoying all the divine favor of God, and his conscience is unburdened. This was the gospel that set multitudes free in the days of the Protestant Reformation. You can imagine the poor Roman Catholic medieval worshiper with all the guilt and all the burden of religion that was laid upon him, and no one was ever told that you have peace with God. They were guilt-tripped to give more, do more, pray more, repent more, do penance, climb stairs, go on pilgrimages. But they were never told that they had peace with God. And so when the Protestant reformers started preaching this gospel, that you are not to be a peacemaker, but you are to be a peace taker. That's all the difference. Take the peace that was won at Calvary. Christ's death is enough. What he suffered is sufficient to turn away God's wrath and bring you into the very enjoyment of the blessing of God. And just as the early preachers in the first century, they went forth preaching peace through the Lord Jesus. As in Acts 10, 31 or 36, we have this reference where it says, the word of God, which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. Did you know when you came to church today that you would have someone who would preach peace to you? Maybe you thought on the way here, oh boy, what are we going to hear today? What's this going to be? Another guilt trip? Another money plea? Another do more sermon? No, it's be a peace taker. Take the peace that's already made. Lay hold upon the peace Jesus made on the cross for you. Enjoy it. And you glorify the Lord by enjoying the peace made at the cross. And while you grovel in your misery of guilt, while you stand back and say, it couldn't be for me, while you are an unbeliever, you deny the glory, the honor, the praise that ought to be unto the Lord Jesus. That brings me to the profession of peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How does the justified man declare this to the world around him? By profess, I mean tell it out. Well, how do you tell it? It's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to profess the name of Jesus. That's it. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, "He that confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father in heaven." And then there's the flip side of the coin. He refuses to confess him before men, he will not confess before his Father in heaven. So that's it. Are you willing to confess the name of Jesus as your Savior? That's it. To profess all the grace that is in the Lord Jesus, all that he purchased for you at the cross, all that his blood brings to your heart. And you profess that personal relationship with the Lord. Have you ever heard somebody talk about, "I have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ"? It seems to the outsider weird, a tad weird, but it's real. Because we have this gospel of reconciliation. We are no longer strangers. We're no longer at odds. We are brought to be at one. And the Christian who professes the Lord as their Savior is reconciled and has this personal relationship. Salvation is Christ. Salvation is not a set of doctrines. Salvation is to know the Lord Jesus. Peace with God comes through his Son. He's the Prince of Peace. He came into this world to purchase peace for sinners and even the guiltiest of sinners. And there's no sin that you've committed that the blood of Jesus cannot cleanse. There is no guilt. There is no legal accusation against you that the Lord Jesus cannot wipe out, because he gives to you all of his perfect righteousness. Peace with God. Do you have it? The Lord wants you to enjoy this. He doesn't want you to be working your way to heaven. You can't do it anyway. He doesn't want you to be a slave to works, but rather a recipient, a taker of the peace that is in the Lord Jesus. Am I looking at someone here today that needs to be saved? Perhaps you've never really called on the Lord Jesus to save you. Maybe you say, "I know these things, but I've never actually called on the Lord to save me." How do you get saved? Well, let's turn in our Bibles. Let's look at it here. Romans 10, verse 9. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." It's your mouth. Take words, call on the Lord. You don't have to do it in front of the whole congregation. You do it one-on-one with the Lord. And then, of course, you'll tell others the Lord has saved you. Are you willing today to confess the Lord Jesus with thy mouth? It's not hard. It's not strange. Here are promises for you, and the Lord will save you.
Was he for crying?
This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. It is my joy to bring you the message of the Bible today, and I hope that you learn, memorize Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. A Dr. George W. Crane, writing in the Chicago Daily News, he said, "What would you advise as the best way to eliminate psychiatric problems?" Here's Dr. Crane's answer. There would be much less strain on men and women if they teamed up with God as a daily partner. Indeed, in that event, psychiatry would almost pass out of existence. People who try to live independently and ignore God are soon overwhelmed with innumerable fears and worries. They become the typical hypochondriacs, always fretting about gallbladder or ulcer or appendix or impending cancer or insanity. If more people learned to team up with God, the human race would soon be able to throw off the 50% of its ailments that medical educators admit are psychological. Well, of course, that means the gospel, the good news that God sent his Son to save his people from their sins. And to be at peace with God, you need a Savior. We all need a mediator to link us, reconciling us together. And then we enjoy this ministry of peace within the soul by the Holy Spirit. But if you resist Christ, he will not come or send the Holy Spirit into your heart. Rather, you will grieve him, and he will go away from you. But if you believe and trust in him, he will bless you. Thank you for tuning with us today here at Let the Bible Speak.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.